This is the Rich Eisen Show. Show.
You don't stop.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano, live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Rich, you are the sexiest man of the year.
Now you don't have to be. Don't twist. You don't have to have your arm twisted.
Rich Eisen. Today's guests: NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, Ravens safety Geno Stone, Texans running back Dare Ogunbowale, comedian Adam Ray, and now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
Hey there. Hi there. Rich is in Germany there. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for watching, listening, however it is you are consuming this multimedia product today. We thank you for it. By the way, we're moving around this week. If you guys didn't know that, on Sirius, there are new places to listen to us, new channels on your radio dial. On Sirius, we're now 161 on Sirius, XM 206, and online 998. Again, 161, 206, 998. All three of those numbers larger than the total points scored last night at Soldier Field, where the Chicago Bears, dressed head to toe in orange, beat the Carolina Panthers, dressed head to toe in, we have the number one pick and it's yours, not ours, 16-13. Of all the games that will be played this week, week 10, and there are some good ones, that was not one of them. Five games this week that feature two teams either at 500 or better. It is a good week. Last night was a slow entry into that good week. But a lot of good storylines from
it. Football game.
Including what do you do with Justin Fields now that he's likely back next week? And how does his audition for seven games go? And what do you do with the mess that is the Carolina Panthers? Chris Brockman.
What's up, buddy?
Jason, Jason, it's Feller, right?
Yeah.
Yes, I got it. Jason Feller.
Feller Friday.
TJ Jefferson, good day to all of you. We're good? We're good. Okay. Also good, I'm wearing a Henley today. It is a casual Friday. The fact that NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero can join us wearing, I believe that's flannel, Tom.
Yeah, thank you. Shout out to my guy, Vincenzo, at the Rag and Bone in Santa Monica, who holds my wardrobe these days. So great pick by him.
Hold on. First time
rolling it out.
Before we get to the Frank Reich hot seat,
oh my gosh.
You've got a guy at Rag and Bone in Santa Monica here in L.A. that gets your wardrobe ready?
Big fan of the Insiders, saw that I was wearing some of the clothes from them, and so now he's kind of curating a wardrobe for me here. It's great.
Okay.
Feels like we need a group field trip next time you're in town.
Tell him I'm a 30-29, and I wear Rag and Bone jeans all the time.
30-29, that is an uncommon inseam right there, Andrew.
Do I look tall? Do I look tall? Hey, man.
I'm a 31-30, and those are tricky, too.
There you go. More like 28, but no one really makes a 28 and a 29. You can deal with it. Anyway.
Oshkosh bagosh, maybe? No?
Oshkosh bagosh. Right back at you, buddy. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Anyway, where were we? Hey, Frank Reich.
Elastic jeans, yeah.
Yeah. So it hit me last night, Tom. trying to get this car back on the road. It hit me last night. Watching Frank Reich's post-game press conference at Soldier Field after his team lost, after the quarterback that Carolina took number one overall lost to a quarterback that was taken out of the middle of nowhere in West Virginia, undrafted. And by the way, that team traded you the first overall pick. The look on Frank Reich's face, Tom, was very similar to the look of kind of like hopelessness that I saw on his face last year when trying to decide between Matt Ryan and Sam Ehlinger. Are they in trouble in Carolina?
I would say this, Andrew. I don't think that anybody watching that game is going to walk away saying anything other than the offense is horrible. I mean, it's, you know, whether it's the, you know, the design, whether it's the execution, whether it's the way the offensive line is played, whether it's the lack of some of the outside weapons. I mean, you know, you're going up against a Bears defense that, granted, you know, added Montez Sweat, and they did invest in that side, but they haven't been an elite unit this season. And you get in the red zone once on national TV, and you got the number one overall pick. You know, I just keep going back to this, and this is not dependent on, you know, solely Frank Reich. It's certainly not dependent on the offensive coordinator, Thomas Brown, who, let's be honest, when he takes over the play calling a few weeks ago, you're not installing an entirely new offense. You can try to do some different things, but the offense, the structure of the scheme is not going to substantially change in the course of a season here. You know, the number one pick looks like he's the guy who is the undrafted rookie out on the field. I don't get the sense that anybody in Carolina is worried about Bryce Young coming through this because he's such a mature guy, a steady guy. But you took him in part because of, you know, the elite processing ability and how accurate he was and how quickly he got the football out. Everything right now just looks slow, and there's no tempo in the offense. You know, you're trying to get the football out of his hands, which I understand, but you're running just, it's a lot of quick passes. And so you're trying to like slowly, gradually move the chains, and that doesn't give you as much margin for error. It's a lot of different factors going on right there in Carolina. Certainly, you know, David Tepper has shown patience in the past. I know that, you know, there's reputations outside and some other things, and I think that he's very conscientious of the fact that people think he's not going to be patient, but he went into a third year with Matt Rhule, despite the fact that, you know, at that point there wasn't a lot of reason to believe, other than Matt Rhule's success at the college level in year three, that things were necessarily headed in the right direction. You know, here with Frank Reich, we're at the halfway point, Andrew, and we're already having these types of conversations. I would just also go back to when they did their coaching search last year, and you look at the interview list, Frank Reich was an outlier. It was young offensive guys. They, you know, wanted Ben Johnson. They interviewed Kellen Moore. They brought in Ken Dorsey, all these guys. And then you hire Frank Reich, who's just, it's a little bit different from what you necessarily were going after in the first place. And so David Tepper, I'm sure, is, you know, had a lot to think about on the plane back from Chicago in terms of exactly what to do moving forward here. Again, I would say nobody is concerned about the quarterback at this point, Andrew, but it's obvious everything around the quarterback is not helping them out.
And there are a lot of cooks in the kitchen there. Jim Caldwell and Josh McCown and Thomas Brown. And on the defensive side, Jiro Averro. You have a lot of guys that are considered future head coaches, and you have former head coaches there as well. I remember sitting with Frank Reich at the Combine. We're doing the interview on NFL Network, and I asked that very question. Are there too many cooks in the kitchen? He pushed back a little bit. There are people seemingly in that building that should be able to come up with answers. But, Tom, there's got to be, and no one's suggesting that I think Bryce Young will pull through. But the C.J. Stroud factor here has to cloud people's thinking, doesn't it?
Well, I think that the dichotomy certainly weighs on you just based upon a relatively small sample size of results. I mean, I think that you go back to the first couple of years coming out of the 2020 draft, and everybody looked at it as the Dolphins completely missed. How in the world could they take Tua? You know, why didn't they take Justin Herbert? And certainly Justin Herbert's been a really good player.
It's
and
a great point.
And there's a lot of reasons to believe in him. But Tua has shown that he can perform at a pretty high level when he's healthy and able to stay on the field. But they had to make a coaching change in order to do that. And they brought in Mike McDaniel, and it kind of unlocked this whole thing for Tua Tagovailoa. And we've seen him. Certainly at the start of this season, I know that the last few weeks have been a little more of a battle for the Dolphins offense, but we've seen that he can do it. So I think that it's way too soon to say, you know, how in the world could you take this guy? The Panthers did all kinds of studies, and they had data and analytics, and they traveled around to the different teams and different schools, and they met with everybody, and they spent time with them. They went to dinner with Bryce Young, and they talked to him there, and they just, everything about him lined up, and they were not alone in that. It's not as if they took the guy that nobody else had as the number one quarterback. If you talk to people within the league, you did get different opinions on this quarterback class, but the consensus, I would say, if not a strong consensus, was Bryce Young was the safest bet. What's happening right now is not working. To your point on the too many cooks in the kitchen, I don't think it's bad to have too many smart football people. The last thing you want is a brain drain and the head coach having to do everything. I do go back to, remember the last year for Doug Peterson in Philadelphia, a few years after they'd won the Super Bowl. And at that time, you know, Frank had left for Indianapolis. They had moved on from Mike Groh. And then they brought in, you know, some smart football minds, Marty Morningwake, Rich Scangarello. They were from different backgrounds. The thinking was, okay, We're going to get some new ideas going here. We're kind of going to revitalize this offense. And instead, they kind of had this offense that didn't really have an identity, didn't have a philosophy. And I think that you see that a little bit right now with Carolina, too, where you've got a lot of smart football people. You just rattled off a bunch of the names in that room, but they come from different backgrounds. They might have different philosophies about what it's supposed to look like on the field. And so regardless of who's calling the plays, the structure of this thing right now looks like it's not best suited for what's going to help Bryce Young take off.
And the Bears go to 3-7. On the flip side of that, they have seven games seemingly now for Justin Fields kind of to audition for the offseason, when the Bears very well, thanks to that victory last night, could have the number one overall pick. Want to get to the Jets real quick. Don't want to linger too much, but make sense if you could, Tom, for us of what Robert Saleh said this week about Zach Wilson and seemingly implying that people upstairs are telling him what to do, then backpedaling from that, if you even want to call it a backpedal. Everything was very vague, but the headline still is Zach Wilson, not Trevor Siemian and not Tim Boyle, is the Jets quarterback.
Well, listen, Trevor Siemian's a great guy, and he started a lot of games in the league. The thinking with the Jets has always been, regardless of whether it's Siemian or whether it's Boyle or, you know, before the trade deadline to trade for Garoppolo, the long shot, ridiculous things about trading for Cousins, that would be the only thing that would elevate you above, right? As if you got a quarterback who's playing at a really high level, going out and getting Carson Wentz, getting Matt Ryan, none of this, regardless of where you thought the downside would be on Zach Wilson, Wilson still has the most upside. And so that was the starting point for how the Jets proceeded once Aaron Rodgers got hurt. That plus, you know, the obvious fact that they are hoping that Aaron Rodgers is going to come back at some point. And so you don't want to invest in anything that's going to tie up money, tie up draft picks and things that you could use to build around Aaron Rodgers, if not even the end of this season, but into 2024 as well. I also think that it doesn't do, you know, I know that Saleh used the phrase plead the fifth, and people had a lot of questions about exactly what he was trying to avoid self-incriminating on. I would say this. No coach, especially one who's trying to and has been trying to instill confidence in his young quarterback, is going to give any shadow of we're thinking about a change. We need to evaluate it unless you already know you're making that change. They're obviously not at that point, according to what Saleh has said, to do that this week. Could you potentially see somebody else get an opportunity? It's not completely out of left field to suggest that that's a possibility here. They just need Zach Wilson or whoever's a quarterback to be good enough. I said that the day after Aaron Rodgers got hurt. The whole idea of if Zach Wilson plays at a high level, no, forget that. Just if Zach Wilson plays okay, they need him to play okay. It didn't happen the other night. He didn't have a lot of protection. Now Billy Turner's hurt. They've had, I don't know how many different offensive line combinations they've already used through the course of the season. There's things going on around him. You'd like to think that you're finding ways to get the ball into your playmaker's hands, get it to Breece Hall, get it to Garrett Wilson. When those things aren't happening to back up a defense who's still playing really well, that's where some of the frustration lies. But, you know, from go, it's been trying to take this scheme that was so driven by Aaron Rodgers having control and being able to check out of plays, do these different things at the line, then trying to find a version of that Zach Wilson could learn on the fly in a season where, you know, in their best case or even okay case scenario, Zach Wilson was never seen.
Is there, I love the story. I've loved his story for a while now as the Browns fan here, but is there Josh Dobbs regret this week around the league? Like, have you heard from people, man, I mean, look what he did. We could have fixed our temporary quarterback injury issue with that guy.
Well, I mean, anytime that you have a guy who plays like Josh Dobbs did last week, Andrew, there's probably half the teams in the league, half the owners going, why didn't we get this Dobbs? He was sitting out there. He's a free agent. He's been traded. He's been on practice squads. Where was he?
Five teams in 11 months.
Right. I mean, and he's the only quarterback ever, you know, once he starts this game for the Vikings this week, who has started for three different teams in a calendar year, all with less than 3 weeks to prepare. The only other guy who's ever done it, period, is Baker Mayfield, who did it twice
bonkers.
In a 365-day scam.
Yeah.
There's span. Dobbs has done it now after this week, three times in less than a year, but every one of those he's arrived. He's had a grand total of 30 days from signing to playing with each of those teams, which is just completely wild. And we'll see. I mean, I would say this. I made this point on the Insiders earlier this week. In my mind, Kevin O'Connell, he got one Coach of the Year vote last year when he won 13 games. Kevin O'Connell this year, if this Vikings team stays afloat, if they somehow get into the playoffs, has to be one of, if not the front runner for Coach of the Year. You go to that game last week, he's got his running back Cam Akers, who would increasingly kind of become the guy in the backfield, he gets hurt. You don't have the best receiver in the NFL in Justin Jefferson. You are down not just Kirk Cousins, but Nick Mullins and Jaren Hall, so the top three quarterbacks. You got a guy who's been there for 5 days, and you find a way to come out and beat the Falcons on the road, one of the teams you're competing with in the NFC. And, oh, yeah, the boldest move that the Vikings made in the offseason from an addition standpoint was moving on from Ed Donatell, bringing in Brian Flores, totally different personality, totally different scheme. And look what the Vikings have done defensively, especially over the last 6 weeks or so here. O'Connell's done a phenomenal job. His next task is taking not just the sneak attack, Josh Dobbs going out there. We don't really know what he's going to do or what they might scheme for him in his defense. You're just thinking, can we tackle this guy? I don't know how many times he's going to get loose and just dance around people and dive for first downs and touchdowns. Now you're into, okay, what are they actually going to do with Josh Dobbs? And you know Dennis Allen's going to have a plan of attack for that. I'm really interested to see now, with a week on both sides, a week for Dobbs to prepare, but also a week for the defense to prepare for him. What's it going to look like?
Right. And let's not forget, they did only win with Josh Dobbs one game in Arizona over the first 2 months of the season. That's not all on the quarterback, but let's not forget that that's the recent history. But you could also could have imagined, hey, what the Falcons would have been like with Josh Dobbs, what the Browns would have been like 2 weeks ago in Seattle. They would have beaten the Seahawks potentially with Josh Dobbs, or what the Jets might have looked like on Monday night with Josh Dobbs. Small sample size. He's pretty darn good on the small sample size. You mentioned the insiders. Injuries we'll keep an eye on today. I know the wide receivers in Cincinnati, certainly. What else? What's on the show?
Well, Ja'Marr Chase is going to be an interesting one since you brought him up, because what I was told the day after he took that fall was there's nothing structural wrong with him, but he's really, really sore. Chris Collinsworth nailed it when he said on the broadcast, he saw the replay of the fall and just said, like, it is going to hurt him to get out of bed tomorrow. And it sounds like that's what it is. But Chase, at least being out there in a limited capacity on Thursday, gives him a chance. We'll find out shortly exactly what his status is going to be. They're not expected to have T. Higgins this week, so that bears even larger in what is suddenly a really compelling game going up against the Texans this week. I think that one of the unique things this week too, Andrew, and it's a good thing if you're a fan, is we don't have nearly the level of quarterback drama, I don't think, that we've had in the past. We've got more guys coming back now. Would you have liked to see Justin Fields last night? Sure, although the Tyson Bajan show continues to amaze me every time.
He's doubtful, but he's out. Yeah, I'm going to wear a T-shirt. He's doubtful, but he's out.
Well, the whole doubtful thing, too, is always weird to me, because I got to look at the exact language, but it's like questionable is 50-50.
Right. Doubtful is 25.
Doubtful is anything from 49 to 1, but then that means questionable can anything be anything from 51 to 99. I don't think anybody, I mean, I have to look, but I don't think anybody has played with a doubtful designation. So we all see doubtful and go, he's out.
He's out. Look, I was watching the presser, and now we're taking a, you know, taking a left turn here. But here's all he had to say is, listen, he's doubtful. He has not yet been medically cleared. We're going to warm him up before the game. There's an outside chance that the doctors may clear him tomorrow, and then maybe we'll dress him, and maybe he would be the emergency or the number two or whatever. But Tyson's going to start. That's all he had to say.
Right. And if you want people to think he might play, then you list him as questionable. And again, there's like rules, and teams play the percentages on this. Everybody does it a little bit differently here. But yeah, if you're doubtful, we know you're out. That was like the other part of that press conference, was like the Abbott and Costello aspect of, I don't understand. You're saying he's doubtful, but he's out. I'm trying to tell you he's out without telling you he's out. Okay. He's doubtful. You can process this and figure it out. We all know he's not playing. It's going to be Bajan. On Fields, by the way, so he is getting better. Like, he is getting closer. I would certainly say there's a good chance, I would put that in my own words, that he's going to be out there next week against the Lions. One of the issues he still had this week was there's still a little bit of pain when he takes snaps under center. You don't want to have him in shotgun the entire game. And also the fact that going up to the games, I know people were surprised too that Khalil Herbert wasn't playing because he was listed as full all week. Well, on the short weeks, a lot of teams don't even practice. They might have like 20 reps on a Wednesday, but it's basically all walkthroughs here. So yeah, hypothetically you could practice and you're healthy enough, but if you don't have time to test an ankle or a thumb, it probably doesn't, you know, it's probably not worth it to go push you out there. And sure enough, they found a way to get one more win with the kid from Shepherd.
Yep. And a lot of teams don't like to force guys out there on a short week, because why not give them an extra couple of days here with the mini bye, and then you're definitely healthy the week after that. And those of us who have Devontae or Deontay Foreman, to beg your pardon, on fantasy, like yours truly, for my awful fantasy team, were grateful. Tom Pelissero mentioned the insiders. It's on this morning on NFL Network with Tom wearing flannel and Ian undoubtedly wearing an awful shirt. We will see you then. Tom, and that's not a personal shot. It's just the truth. Ian wears some awful shirts. I don't know how else to say it.
Wow. Should he go see Vincenzo?
I've told this to Ian on the air. See, Ian likes to take shots at other people's fashion. Anyway, Geno Stone, everybody.
Geno.
Who is the NFL leader in interceptions? For 400, please. Joining us live from Baltimore, straight ahead.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was just terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
Half redneck, half posh, 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes
as
for
it should.
Years.
You guys ruined that.
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I didn't know. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Now, you told him about how you are the Bill Walsh of audio executives.
Exactly,
so you can't screw these up. Your favorite catchphrase from the original Predator. Go ahead. Here's one.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
All right. That's number one. Here's number two.
Okay.
This is a chopper! You
can't hear them at all. Okay. You can't hear them.
Yes.
I'm just
kidding. You can't hear them.
So what I'm going to do, I'm doing this blindfolded. Wait a minute. No, did Bill Walsh not have the volume up? Did the Bill Walsh of sound engineers not have the volume up for the segment?
Oh, my God.
Oh,
we can
boy.
Kill it.
This is not bode well.
I don't want to cause can feedback.
You go, there's a method to his madness. Do you want to try one more time now?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, man.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Okay, if it bleeds,
if it bleeds, we can kill it.
Okay, here's the next one.
This is a chopper!
This is a chopper.
And here's the other one.
Ugly mother.
Okay, there's that one.
Okay.
Start bench cut.
All right, get to the chopper. It's cut. Because it's only an incidental line, and the only reason we remember it is because he's Austrian. If anybody else said, get to the choppers, it wouldn't have been a line. It wouldn't have been a line. It's only because he's Austrian. Cut. It's superfluous. We're going to bench your one ugly MF-er. So what you're going to do is you're going to start, if it bleeds, we can kill it because it's a succinct line and it's done in a very naturalistic way.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.
Very well done.
That's just
now for everybody else who comes in here on the Rich Eisen show, we're going to show
I'm
them.
I'm setting the bar here.
We're going to show them this start bench cut because you have raised the bar, Keegan.
Setting
Michael
the bar
King.
Right here.
We're going to edit out Del Tufo.
I was just
going to
say.
We're
going
to edit that out.
Can you edit that out? No,
it's too
it's
good.
Perfect.
It is the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Andrew Siciliano, hi. Filling in for Rich, who is in Germany. Patriots and the Colts coming up Sunday on NFL Network. I sit here right now at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. An answer to the NFL Jeopardy question right now. Who is the NFL leader in interceptions, or this man, let me do it the right way. This man leads the NFL in interceptions. And the answer is, in the form of a question, who is Geno Stone? And he joins us live now, Owings Mills, Maryland, fresh off the practice field as the Ravens get ready to try to sweep the Cleveland Browns in a huge pivotal AFC North matchup coming up on Sunday in Baltimore. Geno Stone, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for doing this. How's it feel to lead the league in picks, dude? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, it's definitely surreal. You know, I always always dreamt of being having this opportunity to be able to do this, you know, and finally get my opportunities and actually doing it, you know, it's actually kind of crazy, you know. But you know, I put a lot of work in and to be able to do this, though.
All right, we're gonna talk team stuff, I promise. But Gino, just bear with me here. You know, be modest if you want to, but let's talk about you, because Gino, you never want to talk about someone else's money, another man's money. But you got a good thing going right now. They didn't tender you in the offseason. For those who don't know what that means, it basically means they let you walk and they didn't even try to say we want anything back if you walk. Like, you're a seventh round pick. They didn't put an original round tender on you, where if you went to go somewhere else, they would have gotten a seventh round pick. And then it came full circle and you came back. And now you get a chance to play full time. And I know with some injuries, like to Marcus, you had a chance last year. But now, here you are. And now, Gino, like, you could cash in big time.
I really haven't tried to think about that. You know, I just try to, you know, go out there and let all my play handle all that. You know, the off season will come, and or whatever situation happens, you know, I'll be blessed for whatever happens. But at the end of the day, I've got to keep going out there performing how I am and, you know, continue to stack days and stack, hopefully, interceptions and, you know, big plays and help this defense and team win.
Yeah, you're definitely stacking them. And listen, I knew that was the answer likely you were going to give. It's Friday. You got a game coming up this week. The last thing you want to talk about is free agency. But it's a good thing to tell your story to everyone else, because I think it is such a great story. Like, lost in the transactions in March, Geno Stone here back with the Ravens, proving he's the guy. And you guys are proving that you could be the best team, not only in the AFC North, Geno, but in the AFC. Big picture here. You get the Browns this week. It's a much different Browns team than when you saw them last time. That's when Deshaun couldn't play, and Dorian Thompson Robinson, who you picked off, had to play. You guys were all kinds of banged up then. Now this week, they're all kinds of banged up. When you look at the Browns on film this week, after what they did last week, Gino, what do you see?
No, I mean, you know, Deshaun's a big part of their success over there. He's a guy that takes control of that offense. You know, he runs that offense, and they got a really good receiver in Amari Cooper over there. I think it's probably one of the best route runners in the league. They got a really good run game, you know, good backs over there. Guys that can hit the hole, you know, get the long one, and that will just keep going and going over time with a really good O-line. So, you know, I feel like this game's going to be one in the trenches, you know, especially they got a great defense over there. So, you know, we really can't depend on what our offense is going to do. You know, at the end of the day, our defense is going to go out there and hold their team more to less points than their defense is going to do.
I'm talking to Geno Stone, who leads the NFL in picks with six. Browns and the Ravens coming up Sunday in Baltimore. You guys play very different styles of defense, Geno. You guys are like ranked 1-2 or 2-1 in almost every major defensive category. They play a lot of man, come after you. You guys can play some man, you can play some zone, but your pre-snap look with your DC, Mike McDonald, is rarely what you give to the quarterback. As a safety, what's that game like playing cat and mouse with the QB every snap?
No, it definitely is a great thing, because, you know, we're trying to hide what we're doing, you know, pre-snap to the quarterback, just so he's not getting a great look. And then, you know, as a safety, the DB, whatever it is, they give that quarterback that look and make him take that extra second and let the rush get there. You know, our rushing coverage been working together really well, so let our rush get there, and you either get a sack or make the quarterback make the wrong decision and throw it up, and that's how we go get our opportunities, you know, getting turnovers and takeaways.
Hey, you guys are playing chess, where a lot of defenses play checkers, and sometimes checkers is a great way to win. Sometimes chess is a more fun way to win, and you're facing a team this week that does not have, it was just announced, either its left tackle, you knew Jed Wills was down, but its right tackle as well, DeJuan Jones, has been ruled out, the big Buckeye. What does that do for you guys, Gino?
You know, at the end of the day, whoever's in there, you know, that they got to go against our rush. And, you know, our rush has been proving themselves, you know, day in and day out, week in and week out. You know, so, you know, I feel like that's a great thing for our rush and for us. But, you know, we've got to go out and execute our plan this week. And, you know, whatever happens, happens. But we got to go out there and play ball.
Has Clowney been spitting fire this week?
You know, Clowney's more of a laid-back type person. But when he steps on the field, you know, he lets his play talk for himself. So, you know, he's a great guy. You know, he really don't talk much, but like I said, he goes out there and balls.
Gino, if you had to pick one play that Lamar has made this year, maybe it's during a game. Like, I thought that stiff arm on Boye Mafe last week, where he's getting chased and he just kind of stiff-armed him like casually and then ran 20 yards down the sideline. It was pretty cool. Or maybe the play in practice. Like, is there one play where you could go, oh my God, I got to tell people what he just did if they didn't see it?
Honestly, I haven't seen a lot of plays like that from Lamar. You know, through my whole career here in the past 4 years, I mean, I've seen a bunch of films where he showed his speed off and watching him in the game. But just from this game, this year, I'll probably just say against the Colts game when he was in the pocket, you know, it looked like he was a for sure sack. He got out and
yeah.
was on the field for like 20 yards. You know, it's just things Lamar does that you just like, all right, like at this point, it looks normal to us. But at the same time, you're like, you know, that guy's a different type of player.
What about that one-legged touchdown in Arizona? You see that in the red zone?
Yeah, I didn't see it till you know, I saw it on Twitter going around and him making that throw, and it's just crazy because Lamar, it's just Lamar. Like, at the end of the day, when I see Lamar make passes like that, it's just like that's all you can say is like that's Lamar. Like when people see Pat Mahomes make passes, like only Pat Mahomes do that. But you know, Lamar is his own type of you know, quarterback. He's a guy that, you know, I feel like reset what type of quarterback he could be. You know, the people would say, you know, he was a more running type of quarterback, you know, before he first came out. But, you know, he's been a proven passer over the past few years, and I feel like he's continuing to show it now with his, you know, completion percentage and everything else like that.
All right, one more thing for you, Geno Stone, before we let you go, because I know you've talked about this with your buddies. You are a proud Iowa Hawkeye. What do you think the Big Ten should do to Michigan?
They do what they want, you know. I know Coach Harbaugh probably has, you know, the other plans. hey, do what they want, you know. I'm gonna stick with my Hawkeyes, you know. I think we're you know, top of the West right now, so we'll see them in the Big Ten championship.
Hey, is Coach John Harbaugh within earshot? Is that why you hesitated?
Nah,
you never know, man. Hey, look, I get it. I don't know that there is a right answer. I mean, the Michigan people say, hey, everyone cheats a little bit and you don't have any evidence. And everyone else says, you guys have been cheating forever. We got to lay the hammer on you. And then, hey, by the way, they play Penn State in 24 hours, right? So it's like, I don't know why they have to figure it out now. But that's just me.
Right, yeah.
Geno, way to play the political game there. I respect you. Congratulations on the success this year. Good luck coming up on Sunday, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Geno Stone, who leads the NFL in interceptions for the Baltimore Ravens. That's pretty funny.
Get that man in trouble.
Hey, is his brother over there?
What happened?
Yeah. It's like, Geno, we're not going to tweet it out. And then someone, Chad Steele, thanks, Chad, for the help with this. Chad Steele, head of PR for the Ravens. It's not like Chad's going to take the video to coach, your coach, and go, hey, did you hear what Geno said about your brother?
Geno's like, you see the way my bank account is set up.
You know, you talked about that contract. I would really like to be back here. Yes, I'd like to be.
Hey, Andrew, I'm going through a tunnel.
going through a tunnel. I'm standing on the field, about to head into the building, but I'm standing. Yeah, what? We practice in a castle. It messes up cell signal. we have Dario Gumbawale, the Texans running back, and for those who know your Big Ten football, former Wisconsin Badger in the long line of great Badger backs. We'll ask Dario Gumbawale the same question coming up in about a half hour. Also ask him if he's going to be kicking this week for the Texans, because it does not look like Kamie Fairbairn is going to be able to go.
Can we ask him what it's like to maybe not even be the best athlete in his own family?
Yes. His sister plays for the WNBA Dallas Wings and won a national championship with Notre Dame by hitting not only a buzzer beater in the final. And it was one of those, like, I don't know if you guys were watching at the time. I was watching at the time.
Yeah. It was
like,
amazing.
Like, whoa!
Bam! Buzzer beater. She stuck the three. Game over. We're going home.
Right.
Like,
Enrique's
bring
no
the
joke.
Confetti.
Yeah.
She hit the game winner on. I don't want to say on Saturday because the women don't do Saturday, Monday, right? Whatever it was. She hit the. You're so used to saying that for the men, Saturday and Monday. for the Final Four. In the semifinal, she hit the buzzer beater as well. So, yeah.
Back to back.
Back.
No big deal.
To back.
He knows what it feels like to be Reggie Miller, maybe.
Bam. You know? That's actually a great comparison. Reggie and Cheryl. As Reggie, people would always remind Reggie, you're not the best basketball player in your family. Bam. All right. Coming up. Do we bring out the fun facts for week 10? Because you guys mocked me and you didn't seem entertained.
Oh, come on. That
when
is
I did
such
fun
harsh
facts.
Criticism.
You're right. Mocking is too. That's not fair. You didn't seem entertained. You know, when you're talking to a room and you're not getting any reaction.
Sure.
Believe me, I've emceed enough like rubber chicken banquets before. Where you're like, all right, is no one laughing? Like I thought I brought my A material.
Rubber chicken.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, do you get the chicken or the fish? Right, the steak. Like, it all looks the same.
Try
but
the manicotti,
you know, the chewy carrots and like whatever. We've all been there. And like, is this thing on? Right.
Hello.
Yeah. So let's talk about the bar mitzvah boy. Okay. Yeah. You guys didn't seem like maybe we bring back fun facts.
I'm excited. Fun facts. Let's go.
Okay. A fun fact about Kenny Pickett, where if you're a Steeler fan or if you dislike Canada, Matt, that is, you want to hear it. Coming up.
So I tell Mark Norman and Shane Gillis, my two openers.
Yes.
I say, hey, we're doing the Mullet Arena. We'll do two shows. We do one show Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
Sells out at Friday. Sells out at Wednesday, at Thursday. Mm-hmm. Doing four shows. Guys, it's a little treat. Super Bowl tickets on me. Good seats.
Mm-hmm.
$125,000.
Well, you're going for the primo if you're talking about that.
I didn't know. My wife called and she goes, they just took $125,000 out of our account. Is there something going on? Do you need to talk to me about something? Are you going to South Africa for a month? I was like, no, we're going to the Super Bowl. I don't even like either of the teams. This is the rub.
Oh, no.
They don't tell you your seats until Friday.
Get out of here.
You don't know where you're sitting. I don't even know who I gave the money to.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know. My manager just goes, I need $125,000. And I gave it to him. I feel like Bernie Madoff's client. Like, I'm just sitting there going, so you think Bitcoin's going to really do well? I hope this money turns out. Matt Damon said we're cool.
Oh my God.
I heard Tom Brady's involved. This should be a win-win, Rob.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing so hard and crying.
I don't even know who I don't even know when I get my ticket.
Burton. It's the greatest heist ever.
I'm like, guys are so lame, but I still limp.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, God.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, if I have bad seats, I'm gonna be living. I hate the Super Bowl. I'm gonna be rooting against both teams.
Oh my God. Yeah.
All right, that was funny. Did I mention Adam Ray is coming up next hour? Bert's good friend, Adam Ray, will be here in studio. Yeah, buddy. Here in studio to celebrate the Seahawks signing Brett Rypien to the practice squad this morning. Yeah, Pete Carroll loves him. Some former Bronco quarterbacks. He's got Drew Locke. And now he's got Brett Rypien on the practice squad. I guess the Seahawks needed a third, or they want to pick Brett Rypien's brain, because next week the Seahawks come to L.A. to face Matthew Stafford and the Rams.
You think Geno Smith is on a little bit of a hot seat?
I do, but I don't. Geno's got to play better. I don't think. No, I don't think Pete would bench Geno for Drew Locke. It's been five straight games, by the way, though, that Geno has two turnovers. Not one. Five straight where he's got at least two turnovers. I mean, the way this league changes week in, week out, like Frank Reich today on his day after thing kind of sort of left the door open to take play calling duties back from Thomas Brown. Like, it's a mess out there, kids. It's a mess. All right. I mentioned we should do some fun facts about the games. So going back to when I did the Red Zone for 18 years, I had my routine where I would sit down and I go through all the research material that DirecTV would put together, that the NFL would put together, that I'd get together from Stats Inc. or all these other places. And I would come up with like 20 bullet points for every game on Sunday. And those were my main, not necessarily my main talking points, but like things to look for, trends, whatever. And I would kind of try to download those into my brain ahead of Sunday. This year, not doing that show, but still doing other shows. And I've tried to do the same thing, right? Prepare as if you're doing the same thing
right
on Sunday, because that's just, I don't know, that's what I've always done. And a lot of these things you go like, oh, really? Wow.
I did not know that.
So, Jason, I know we tried for some music last time, and you went like 70s rock.
It was terrible last time.
What was the music last time?
It was like old school rock and roll. I got you this time.
Did anyone notice, by the way, that late in the fourth quarter that the loudspeakers, TJ, I looked to them, but they're not going to know what I'm talking about, at Soldier Field played Mobb Deep? Shook Ones? No?
The volume turned. The game was on one TV. The volume was not
turned
up.
That game gave you another migraine, right? Okay.
I started watching the Hawks game. I was like, I can't watch.
There you go.
But no, anyway. I did not know.
Yeah, Mobb Deep. Anyway, and then Eddie Pinheiro missed the field goal right thereafter. So
he
coincidence?
He was shook.
He did not ante
Maybe
up.
That's what they were trying to do. Yeah. They're trying to shake Eddie Pinheiro in the Eddie Pinheiro revenge game. Anyway, I digress. Jason, what do you got for me?
Why don't you just play films music?
I don't mind this. What is this?
This is called basketball music.
This is called basketball.
I'm going off of Del Tufo's labels always.
Okay. Why are you playing films? He's doing little NFL films.
Yeah, just make it easier.
Why are you making this more complicated?
Do you think that the NFL films, like if you feel like it's only reserved for Rich and somehow
no.
I am stealing a bit?
You're in the chair,
no.
baby.
Okay. Bam!
Yeah, there we go.
Hey.
Thank you.
God, I feel so much better now.
Thank you.
Shut up.
Gosh, I feel better. Do you know that Gardner Minshew has not won consecutive starts, or the team for which he was playing has not won consecutive games in 4 years?
What?
Whoa.
Now, he went a couple of years without starting.
Oh, okay, well.
But
sense.
A team with Gardner Minshew at quarterback has not won consecutive games since week 7 of 8 of 2019 when he was a Jacksonville Jaguar. That does not bode well for the Colts in Germany, if you think that means anything, as they play Bernard Ryman. I'm sorry, as they play Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots.
Wow.
I keep going back to Bernard Ryman. I think it's great. That there's a kid from Austria starting in this game.
Right.
That's just me.
You know
so there.
Should, you know who should flip the coin for that game?
Who's that?
Oleg.
Oleg the bike tour guy from Berlin.
He should come out and make the official coin flip.
That would be amazing.
That would be amazing. That would be absolutely amazing. So there's your fun fact on the early game. We just had Geno Stone on Browns and the Ravens. Huge game with AFC North and overall AFC playoff implications. If the playoffs were to start today, we'd be surprised. And the Browns would be the 6th seed. The Ravens, as it stands, would be the 2 seed. I think Baltimore could be the best team in football, and they're facing a Browns team that not only lost Jack Conklin in September, they've dealt with that. DeJuan Jones playing well. Now DeJuan Jones out at right tackle, and Jed Wills is out at least a month at left tackle. So the Browns have, I don't know, hands up in the air playing left and right tackle against the Ravens. That's bad. But here's your fun fact about this one. This will be the very first time that Odell Beckham Jr. will be on an NFL field facing a former team. You read that, you go, that doesn't make sense. Well, when he was with the Browns, they never faced the Giants. They did play the Jets at the Meadowlands. He had a long, well, he got tackled on the one. It should have been a touchdown. I don't think they should have overturned it, but regardless. So he played against the Jets there, but not against the Giants. When he was with the Rams, it was a short stint. He didn't play against neither the Browns nor the Giants, and then he was out of football for like a year and a half. And when the Browns and Ravens played back in September, he was hurt. So this is the very first time in Odell Beckham Jr.'s career that he is facing a former team. Mm. Also, here's a bad one for the Browns. They're averaging 10 points per game defensively allowed at home. Ooh. That's really good. On the road, 29.3.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah. That's really bad. Okay. Bengals and Texans. T. Higgins is out. Already ruled out. Sam Hubbard is out. Yep. Ruled out today by Zach Taylor. Jamar Chase, iffy, we're told. It's wait and see. Do you know that this is C.J. Stroud's very first NFL game played in the state of Ohio? Yeah, probably. It makes sense. They haven't played on the road at Cleveland yet this year. But did you know that he is the lowest interception percentage by any rookie, minimum 200 attempts, in the history of the National Football League? You probably did. That one's not that big of a deal because we've been saying it over and over and over and over again. Here's a fun one from Green Bay and Pittsburgh. And all you people that are Steeler fans that you're, you know, still fed up with Matt Canada. So do you know what touchdown percentage is? This isn't like DVOA or EPA. It's not some random next gen thing. Touchdown percentage, real easy. Number of overall attempts, passing attempts, and the number of touchdowns in those attempts. Right?
Easy.
Not something
easy
you generally look at. But Kenny Pickett now has 619 career attempts. So using 600 career attempts as a bar and going for 104 years of the NFL, Kenny Pickett has the second lowest touchdown percentage of all time. All the times, all the games, Kenny Pickett has thrown 13 touchdowns in his 619 career attempts, a touchdown percentage of 2.1.
Jeez.
The lowest ever is a gentleman named Gary Huff, who played for the Bears and Bucks in the 70s. His touchdown percentage, again, using 600 as the floor, is 2.1. Zero. So Kenny Pickett is right there for the lowest percentage of touchdowns and overall pass attempts in the history of the game.
Gary Huff, 7-21 as a starter, 16 touchdowns out of 788 attempts.
Not good. Yet the Steelers are winning. They're 5-3. They've been outgained in every game.
Tomlin.
And I'll tell you right now, they are going to beat the Green Bay Packers.
We're not going to apologize for winning.
You shouldn't. Should not apologize for winning. The Green Bay Packers, Mike Tomlin, will be a pebble in your shoe this week.
It's going to be Kenny Pickett's 13th career win, then, if that happens.
Yep.
Same number of touchdowns.
If quarterback wins are a thing, and a thing for you. The most interesting game of the week, hands down. I know what my answer is. What's yours?
Most interesting game of the weekend?
Hands down.
49ers Jaguars.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, like the Niners in Jacksonville? I mean, like,
maybe going for their fourth straight loss.
Yeah. Like, it just doesn't feel, like, if you told me, oh, the Niners are on the road in Spain this week, it would seem more likely than them playing in Jacksonville. Right? It seems like such an odd and awkward, and we never see this kind of matchup. But the Niners are coming off a bye. They're 5-3. The Jaguars are coming off a bye as well. They are 6-2. The Jaguars have the longest active winning streak in the NFL. A lot of people don't know that. And it's a winning streak off a bye at that. So they're 5 in a row and they're coming off a bye. Did you know that the Jaguars lead the NFL in takeaways? You probably didn't. And that's from a zone team. 18 takeaways for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And also, Christian McCaffrey has a chance to score a touchdown in his 18th consecutive game. And if he does that, he will stand alone the longest such streak in NFL history. And forget about like scrimmage touchdowns and total touchdowns. Like the NFL stat world has forced upon us the concept of scrimmage touchdowns as if they need to be set aside from punt and kick return touchdowns, which are such an oddity these days anyway.
Right.
And they give you phrasing like, He is the leader in scrimmage touchdowns. Like, who has ever said that in a bar? Has anyone ever walked in going, hey, man, how many scrimmage touchdowns does Christian McCaffrey have this year? No one's ever said that. Has anyone ever said that?
No. Maybe one person. Maybe one person, but I'm certainly
Ed,
not
maybe
friends
Ed.
With him.
I
do
it.
Appreciate, you know, they have to give us these parameters, right? Like you want to distinguish between numbers. You might want to follow up. But it's one of those things like signal caller. Who's ever walked into a bar? Hey, Chris.
Hey, Andrew.
You think the Patriots can finally find a signal caller next year?
Ooh, I hope so.
Yeah. If only they could find somebody to call signals. That would change everything. Dare Ogunbowale set to join us coming up in 10 minutes.
Signals.
No, we've done this rant before.
Very
haven't
silly.
We? Yeah, just about like sports cliches.
Language.
The signal caller. Who says that? Like, who says that? Please. Anybody?
Only when it's written, I think.
Great fun facts.
It's a sportscaster phrase. Go ahead.
I like your fun facts.
Thank you. I appreciate you. I mean, we only do the early games because we're in out of time. The late ones,
well, there's only three late ones.
No, there's four late games. Right?
Is Arizona a late game?
I guess Arizona's so. A late game. So. Isn't it? Yeah, it's at Arizona.
Right. You're right. You're
yeah,
right.
I think Kyler's going to open up a can on the Cardinals. That's just me.
On the Falcons.
I'm sorry, on the Falcons, or maybe on the Cardinals. Wouldn't that be fun? yeah, Lions-Chargers is the big one. Giants-Cowboys. Wow. I mean,
seriously, we need a shutout, TJ. Like, two pick sixes. What else? 17 sacks.
I mean, all these things you ask are attainable, you know, easily attainable.
I have Cowboys defensive fantasy.
Me too.
The game that's getting the least attention all week, and this is perfect because Adam's going to be in here in 20 minutes, Adam Ray. The Commanders and the Seahawks.
Sneaky good game.
It's not. It's good. I mean, funny how things change because the Commanders went up to Foxborough and won. You know, Mac Jones leads them down the field at the end of the game. You feel a lot different about the Commanders these days, but they're 4-5, right? They showed that they could win defensively without Chase Young and without Montez Sweat. And Sam Howell's fun. Dare Ogunbowale is fun, too. He's coming up next.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form.
We have Michael Azarad, who was Nirvana's very first biographer. I'm not sure how many people realize how many of the best songs on In Utero were written way beforehand.
To be fair to Kurt, he was also a new father. There was a lot of stuff distracting him. It wasn't just drugs, although that was certainly a major factor.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.